I thought that was a great commentary by Joel Batonio with us right there. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm double digit in years, and I'm going to talk to these guys, and then maybe I'll make my decision. Like, he wanted to talk to him. Because, boy, if he wouldn't have liked what he had heard. Like, again, there's millions of dollars that are on the table. I don't want to be foolish with anybody. Like, that can still, that's still another nice year that you can squirrel away for another rainy day. I get all that. But to have that conversation, then come back and play, it does make you feel good. Because, I like Mike Bloomgren when they made that hire. And I know a lot of people are like, Ken likes everybody, so it doesn't matter. I'm like, you didn't hear me saying a bunch of great things about the last guy. You did not hear me saying a bunch of great things there. But when Joel says it, all right, it certainly has a little bit more weight to it because obviously he plays in the NFL and he plays at a very high level. So I thought that was good. Also, I love the turnover conversation that he had.
They obviously are stressing it time and time again because he said yesterday they had their meetings to really establish identity. Yesterday was the first day, so that was great insight from Joel. And the first thing he said was turnovers. So clearly, you're going to see a very different attack this year. And the ball control stuff, Joel, you know, I'm listening to him on the phone and we're doing a radio interview, but I could tell his eyes lit up. Like, they are going to run the football, and that is going to be the identity this year.
It's easy to put on paper, but we're trying to develop that as a group and an offense. Like I said, we want to be multiple. We want to marriage of the run and pass. We want to be physical. We want to play fast. You know, all these things that an efficient offense does, and just not hurt ourselves. I mean, it stinks because we've been very bad at it, but Kevin has always stressed, don't turn the ball over. And I think we want to do that this year. Like, we think we have the defensive players play great defense, and if we can control the ball on offense and take advantage of those big plays when we have them, like, we think we can get back some of that magic, you know, from 2023.
So, yeah, I go back and I've said, and you guys have lambasted me. I don't know how great they're going to be. All right? What's the over-under? 4.5 still? Is it 4.5?
Around 5.
I've seen 5.5.
Okay, yeah. 5.5. Depending on the amount of quarterbacks you start, I might not want to go that high. Usually why I go, but I said 6 or 7 wins after the schedule last year,
seven.
Right?
You added a game.
I said definitely 6.
You said 7 and, well, you started 7-11 and then you went 7 and 10. Me,
I said definitely 6. Then I got to 7 and, I was actually 7-11 as you said.
Stop backtracking, you said 7.
I'm not backtracking a damn thing. So I think they're going to do their damnedest to eliminate turnovers by running the ball. It's going to be a lineup, pound it at you type of offense. They're going to try to pound it at you. We'll see if that actually works, but they're going to line up and actually go after you. Because again, most teams, now there are certain scenarios where it's a mixed bag. I went back to 2020. You were +5. You were +5 in turnover. You were 11-5. Indianapolis, where arguably at that time in 2020, they were not as good a team as you on paper. They were also 11-5. They were +10. In turnover margin. San Francisco. Everybody loves San Francisco, right? That was one of their injury years. They had to start, I believe, multiple quarterbacks. They were near the bottom at like minus a billion, and they were 6-10 that year in 2020. They were actually minus 11 in turnover margin. Denver was actually at the bottom at minus 16. On the other part of it, Chicago, 8-8, they were minus 4. The Rams, 10-6, they were minus 3. Like, you can get there, but damn it, you have to overcome a lot when you have turnovers. And that means that you have to have a lot of talent to overcome turnovers. And some things have to go. Sometimes the luck just goes your way. You can't guarantee that luck's going to go your way. And in 2023, I think you had a lot of luck. I think if you go back to some of those games and some of the silly turnovers that happened, like, yeah, there were some bad teams that you played and you gave the ball away and there were chances for those teams to get back in the game. They just weren't good enough. You were better. You were better because of what you did in 2016 and 17 to get to where you were in 2023. By that all going on, and Joe Flacco is a competent quarterback. You saw what happened last year when you didn't have any competent quarterback play and you turned the ball over. You were an out-and-out disaster. Even without the last four games of the season where they weren't necessarily trying to get wins, they were an out-and-out disaster. So you got to do what you can to eliminate turnovers. So when you guys roll your eyes at me, go, typical Ken, Homer Ken, yeah, I mean, a little bit. I don't want to see him be terrible. I got to be honest with you guys. The other part of it is that, yeah, I think they'll line up, they'll run the ball, and I think they'll win 6-7 games. Because of that, I think other teams will try to throw on them. Their defense is still decent. And I think that, yeah, they'll be able to have some takeaways, and they'll probably win games based on running the ball as long as they don't get happy and crazy and start turning the ball over like nuts. It's an oil water situation with some of this stuff. I had to go over this. We've been talking about it off and on this morning, but we haven't really got to it on air. You saw the Chris Ronayne letter.
I did.
So here we go. It's another bad letter. A lot of strong words being thrown out here. The war of words is continuing. Chris Ronayne, who is the Cuyahoga County executive. I mean, Lima, you read this. What are some of the strong languages you've read in this? I mean, he writes the word boondoggle here at the end. Boondoggle is a strong word. My God. This is strong stuff. Says the declaration reveals Haslam Sports Group's greed and opportunism throughout this process. The $600 million in bonds requested from Cuyahoga County was never needed for this project. And we now clearly see that you have spent the last 2 years attempting to bully the public and fleece county taxpayers for HSG's private gains. So the gloves have come off. David Jenkins did also issue a reply.
Yeah, because I mean, they've just been going back and forth now.
Yeah.
We're down to basically note passing in sixth grade.
Yeah, we're just getting to public tweets now, basically, long form. My stance hasn't changed through all this. I understand it's gotten ugly, and I get that these things do. My stance has still not changed. I have not seen anything. First off, I've heard way more of Blaine Griffin and way more Chris Ronayne than I've heard of the mayor over this issue over the last 3 years. Way, way, way more. And also, I'm still just not convinced the city ever really wanted to have them downtown. I think they'd rather do something else with that. But it's not going to be a good look for anybody involved to let the Browns leave downtown Cleveland. So there's going to be some strongly worded stuff. There's also, I haven't seen anything that looks appealing in terms of a renovation, in terms of
the photos we saw.
A new stadium. Now, they say that that's a Browns rendering. You can't come up with your own things the last 3 years.
You've had time.
They say that they've started these discussions in 2017 under an old mayor.
Right.
So this is something that's inherited, obviously, but I've never seen anything that I would consider to be viable that would be taken seriously by the public of replacing the stadium and keeping it downtown or renovating the stadium.
Yeah, I have to say, though, to me, the biggest takeaway here is the county kind of called the Browns bluff on this and might have won here just in one regard. When the Haslams came out and issued their statement, I think it was last week, that we'll just do this on our own. I think the county's like, yes, you just said it. You just took the words out of our mouths. Like, we didn't want to help subsidize this, and now you're saying the project can proceed without us, so we're done. We're done here. So that's what Ronayne is expressing in this letter. Like, you guys just admitted that you can do this and finance that part of it without the county funds, so have at it. By all means, you've just proven that. So I think they called their bluff there. So that's a minor win for those individuals in that regard.
So what can this private group, HSG, do to cut the county out? Because sales tax is sales tax. You got to pay that no matter what. And it's still in the county.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are sitting there going, well, why is the county executive so upset when it's still in Brook Park? When Brook Park is still in Cuyahoga County, Anthony.
Yeah, that part of it, I don't think we've gotten a lot of great clarity other than the county is expressing that they don't want any funds diverted from what could go to other needed places, especially schools. So they have been adamant about that throughout, that they want the schools to be made whole on that, and that this is a massive project still in the county. How are the schools, how are the students being impacted? How are families being impacted? They've been adamant. They haven't necessarily given a lot of clarity on how.
You say schools and families, that's strong language.
Sure, but I don't, PR-wise, doesn't seem to be working. It seems like everybody's ganging up now on the county and they're handling over this.
Well, because I think people want to see something that, okay, you want to keep it downtown. How do you do this? How do you do this? Because the rendering that I saw that was the reimaging of what a renovated stadium would be. I mean, that looked like an IKEA piece.
Yeah,
what was that
terrible
thing that's out in your backyard? The portico. What the hell is that? What was it? What was it? Pergola.
The pergola.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Who am I?
I have a porta potty in my backyard.
No, I think there's a pergola or something like that goes over someone's driveway.
I'm not agreeing with that word being a word, but pergola, yes.
Now I got to look that up during the break. I need to see if you come up together with a kick-ass thing, because I know it's half the money, and people say it's fine. It's devolved into, well, can the Goodyear blimp fly over it now? Which is
important. You got to have those aerials.
You know, you do realize you build all these things in indoor facilities, we're probably going to be done with a Goodyear blimp.
Yeah, will that be the end of the blimp and the beautiful imagery as we know it?
If you can't look up and see the Goodyear blimp.
But we can still do fireworks.
Can't we?
No.
You got to walk outside and see the fireworks, blimp, and you got to walk back in.
The blimp is not fly. Won't fly because it's an indoor facility. Because it's next to the airport.
Oh, yeah. That could be an issue, too.
Planes are landing.
But you can't see it.
Fly through the blimp, Ken.
You can't see it. Are you supposed to look up through?
You can't shoot Roman candles off at the stadium.
In Washington's new stadium.
A Delta.
Can you see it through the glass ceiling up there? Can you see the blimp?
Oh, yeah, but you've got to break through it to really get to something.
Guys, these are all the considerations. This is maybe why you haven't heard from the mayor lately, is he's still going through these considerations.
I'm pro blimp.
We're just getting started.
Was the last time he's been out about this subject, talking about this?
I was looking for him at the marathon.
He was not at the marathon.
I did not see him there.
Renee was at the marathon.
He was standing up right next to me.
Yeah, he got on
the microphone. Yeah, loud booming voice. Look, this still all boils down to, in the interim, what is Mike DeWine going to do when he has a bill in front of him that has this type of public financing? What is he going to do? Because he says he has a much better way to pay for it with the gambling rather than taking it from the current bond structure.